Well, the best start for this podcast ever, but you won't allow it. You won't allow farting on this podcast.
I am the censor of the internet podcasts. I will stop you farting. I'm like that old woman who used to complain about BBC programmes in the 1970s.
Very listeners, you missed a perfectly good fart then.
Tom, I'm at attack. Flatulence aside.
Flatulence is funny, Matthew.
It is, but unlike Blazing Saddles, you know, us farting around a microphone isn't as funny as someone farting on beans around a campfire.
It's just as funny. I've been trying to record an effective fart for some time now. and that was the perfect opportunity.
I hate to break it to you, I couldn't even hear it, so I doubt the mic could.
Oh, I think it could.
Do you reckon? Maybe we'll put it in as a squeaky bonus at the end. Keep listening, ladies and gentlemen.
We could do it like a water disclaimer. Right now, we're going to play the fart. If you don't want to hear the
no,
fart...
No, we'll do it at the end. We'll put it right after the credit music. Just as a last... at the end.
Okay.
Yeah, anyways, how are you? You all right? You've been a bit ill this week.
Oh, yeah. But I'm all right now.
That's good to you.
I'm all right now. I wasn't so good a few days ago, but fully recovered.
On the mend?
Yep, yeah.
That's good to you.
I played a few games while I was feeling a little unwell.
Bedridden, yeah. What did you play?
Mm. Well, I noticed Capcom sale on the Xbox store. What's it called? The Xbox store.
Xbox Live Marketplace.
Oh, that's what it's called. It's got a fancy name.
It does have a fancy name.
Marketplace, yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to make it seem more traditional and friendly. Yeah, Capcom sale. So various Capcom titles were discounted this last week, including Resident Evil 4, which I decided to download the HD version of.
Okay, that's fair enough. Resident Evil 4 is a good game.
It's one of my favourites, and I have it on the GameCube. I didn't buy it on any other formats, like PS2 or Wii.
Yeah.
I held out. You know, I was quite happy with my GameCube version. But I'm happy I made the plunge and bought the HD version because it looks great on the HD TV.
Yeah.
And that was why, you know, a good reason to buy it again.
That's all good and good. I've got the PS2 version. I did own the GameCube one back in the day, but I lent it to someone and never got it back.
It's about on everything now, isn't it? Resident Evil 4.
Yeah. Well, I played it on the Wii a couple of years later after it was released because my friend Thomas Loveday said, "You need to play it. It's really good. It's got really good motion controls." And I played it, and I was like, I fucking hate motion controls.
Well,
this game
was
so much better on the GameCube. Yeah, but it was just such a pain in the ass. It took so much of the gravitas of Resident Evil 4 out of it and the tension, because you were trying to fucking waggle a Wii remote around. And it kind of had a weird auto-aim, so all you had to really do was just kind of like...
Really? I didn't know that. Like, you must be able to turn it off.
Probably.
Yeah.
But all you really had to do was kind of like jilt the controller up a little bit. You know like how you cheat a Wii boxing by just kind of flicking at it?
Yeah, okay.
Or you could just kind of flick it and then the gun would kind of go, oh, he's really shit at using this Wiimote, and then aim at the things for you.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a bit wank. Yeah. I didn't really enjoy it.
This version seems to keep everything as I remember it from the GameCube. One thing that has aged the game slightly is subsequent Resident Evils have improved the fluidity of the movement in game.
Yeah, but I kind of like the movement of that game isn't perfect.
It's a little clunky. It's not bad clunky. It's just when you've been recently playing 5 every week, as I have done online co-op, you can tell the difference. Doesn't spoil the game in any way at all. It just feels
I kind of like it that Resident Evil 4 kind of gets it right for me, because it's not as clunky as the tank controls from the original games.
Yeah.
But then it's not perfect either.
Well,
that's what I kind of like.
Funny thing
it.
Is, at the time I thought it was, you know.
Really?
But Capcom have managed to refine this movement, I think.
Yeah.
With 5 and even 6 manages to get that right. It doesn't get much else right.
But no, it doesn't.
Actually, talking about 6, I decided to download this pack of 3 extra modes for Resident Evil 6, multiplayer modes. It was £3, so £1 a mode. That'll be all right. And I've got to convince my friend Gareth, who I play Xbox Live with, to buy it as well. Otherwise, it's kind of pointless.
Yeah.
But I for when it was on offer.
What are these other modes?
Onslaught's one of them. I don't know what they are exactly. I was going to give them a go before the podcast.
Oh, but, multiplayer modes.
I think they're multiplayer modes, yeah.
I was hoping when you said modes, you meant like scenarios.
I wanted a reason to play it again.
Well, Resident Evil 6.
Yeah.
You were the only person.
My money out.
You were the only person looking for a reason to play Resident Evil 6 again. Money.
I think I bought that on release. Did I buy
it? You did buy it on release and you played it a lot. Like, I don't get why you're trying to still scrape a few pennies out of it.
By spending more pennies.
Yeah, exactly. Especially by buying Resident Evil 4, a game you've already played and enjoyed. Like, isn't that counteractive to this whole idea of getting your money's worth out of games? Just play it on the GameCube.
I don't know. Oh, you got me there. What did you buy? Or play? Or whatever?
Well, Thomas, some of the games I mentioned last week on the podcast have arrived. I got my copy of Trip World. Oh, it's beautiful, Tom. I love playing it. I love it.
Game's beautiful. The cartridge isn't... It's got a nice picture.
It's got a nice picture.
Yeah. I'm just saying in general, I'm not saying the condition of it, just the Game Boy cartridges aren't the prettiest things in the world. But maybe I'm... You know, maybe you'll disagree with...
You're speaking to the wrong man. I was going to say, like, I kind of like Game Boy cartridges. There's a lot of them with terrible artwork.
Here's a great question. What is the prettiest game cartridge?
For the Game Boy?
No, ever.
Ever?
Yeah. What do you like the look of the best?
Ever? God. That's asking me to dig deep. I really like... what's it called? Carnage game. Maximum Carnage. I really like that shade of red they used on that cartridge. I think that's kind of cool.
I'm thinking even just whatever cartridge for N64.
Oh, it's shape-wise.
Shape, colour, design.
I really like the Famicom.
The Famicom. I'm tempted to go Famicom now because it's simple and they come in a variety of colours.
I think that's a good enough reason. I do really like the Game Boy cartridge. I got to be honest, like the shape of the Game Boy cartridge.
It has got that indent thing with
it's got
Game
a little
Boy
indent.
Thing.
It's got little lines. You know, it's got that little crisp bit where they've put the Nintendo. It's essentially the Nintendo logo, but it says Nintendo Game Boy at the top of the cartridge.
Okay. They're not the ugliest cartridges.
Well, they're not, and they come in a variety of colours too.
Not just grey, yeah.
There's a blue, red, and yellow, obviously, for the Pokemon games and the Donkey Kong Land games, respectively.
Black ones for Game Boy Color games.
There's black ones for Game Boy Color games that can be used on both.
Later Game Boy Color games.
Oh, but they
games.
Don't count. They're a different cartridge shape.
They're different shapes.
But you can also get a pink cartridge and a cyan blue one, which are the Tamagotchis in Japan. And a white one, actually, is also a Tamagotchi cartridge. Weirdly, weird Game Boy bit of trivia, you can actually get pink Power Ranger the Movie cartridges.
Okay.
Because Bandai had an excess amount of Tamagotchi cartridges that they didn't use because the demand for the Tamagotchi game wasn't as high. And so they just shipped the cartridges over to the US and packaged the Power Rangers games in them. So you could actually get pink Power Ranger games.
That makes sense, Pink Ranger.
Yeah, this is what I was thinking. Maybe they were trying to appeal to gay and girls.
Yeah.
Speaking of game girls, played Barbie Game Girl. Core Tom. That's a good game.
Yeah.
He says sarcastically.
You finished that very quickly.
I did finish it very quickly. I'm probably not going to do it on Biographic for a while, so I can feel free to talk about it on you, because then I can remember it and remember how terrible it was. Actually, I think I'm being a bit harsh on it. It's not too bad.
Well, when I was speaking to you about it, you seemed all right with it.
I'm okay with it to a certain extent, and it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. But the sprite of Barbie is huge. Doesn't really look like Barbie either. It kind of looks like just a generic woman. And it's kind of trying to take Mario...
Generic woman, the game.
Yeah, it's trying to take like Mario ideas of power-ups being different Barbie costumes. It's kind of a good idea in theory, but then terrible
Barbie
in practice.
Dresses up, yeah.
Other than there's weird mermaid levels put in every other two levels. They're probably the most enjoyable bit of the game. Because you can actually move properly and it kind of feels more like a side-scrolling shooter than a platformer. But there's one power-up which is essentially like running Barbie and you become like Star Mario. Like, you may as well be playing because you can just run through enemies and kill things very quickly. Yeah. But then there's this
slow animation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's this weird other power-up which is supposed to be like the aerobics Barbie. And the only advantage of that is that you can kind of double jump like Samus Aran. Like, you jump once and then you do like a flicky flacky jump midair.
A flicky flacky?
Yeah, you know, where your character spins around.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And it's kind of pointless because it doesn't really do anything. You can't really get anywhere with it. If anything, yeah. it's more of a hindrance, because whereas at least when you're Barbie and you jump and you miss a jump, you can kind of push back on the D-pad and go back onto land. Okay. Whereas when you're Flicky Flacky Barbie, you just fall down the hole. So it's just like, well, thanks for this wonderful jump power-up. It's actually useless. And there's like a lot of times you have to go out of your way to get it, and maybe me, you see a heart on the screen, you think, oh God, that's health, aces. Mm. So you jump to it, and then it's not, it turns you into Flicky Flacky Barbie, and then you wish you hadn't bothered to get it. Also, there's this really annoying thing where you do get hurt in the game by things called boguses. They're not called enemies, because they're, yeah, they're like totally that. Bogus, because it's the 90s. And anytime you get hit, it does this awful thing that some games used to do, of like stopping the game to like let you know you got hit, and the screen kind of flashes a little bit. And it just like totally slows down everything about the game and makes levels needlessly long, because it takes like 5 seconds to start playing again.
Yeah, it sounds like it wasn't optimized properly, this game.
Well, it's made for the Game Boy. It doesn't exist on any other console, so like you would have thought it would have been a bit better, but no. It kind of sits in the middle ground. Like I said, it's not a terrible game.
Will we not see this in your series of Game Boy videos?
Oh, no, it will be in a biographic. There's just a few more I want to do before I do this one. Namely, Ashido Way of the Stone, which I talked about on last week's podcast.
Did you?
I think
you
I
may
did.
Have mentioned you got it, but we didn't go into any detail.
Really, I didn't talk about it. Well, it's essentially Solitaire, if I didn't. It's a game where you match up tiles. They have to be the same colour and same shape, and you have to lay them next to each other. So if you have a triangle and a circle, if you have a red triangle, say there's no colours, if you had a red triangle and a blue circle, you'd either have to have a blue triangle or a red circle. Like they have to, the tiles you place next to two tiles have to match both of them in one quality. So if it was two triangles, you could just put any triangle in between it and stuff like that.
Riveting.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of fun. It's really ratting. Right. Like I said, the only way I can really compare it to is playing Solitaire. And like, they've even realised that, and one of the modes is called Solitaire mode, even though it's just the same as the regular game.
I have it on the Lynx. There's an interesting game cartridge for you. The Lynx, very thin, like cards.
It's got the weird, like, unlicensed Game Boy thing, right? Where the cartridge kind of comes out of the bottom.
No.
No, is that on the Lynx?
I don't think so. Not that I remember.
Oh, interesting. Maybe it wasn't.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe it's just some third-party Lynx titles that do it then. I'm not sure.
On the Lynx, I think I put that game in, looked at it, and turned it off again.
Really?
I think I might have done that.
Well, didn't you buy it for Ninja Gaiden 3? Wasn't that the only reason you bought the Lynx?
That made me make that decision to buy the Lynx, and then down the line, of course, Nintendo decided to release it on the 3DS's Virtual Console.
Yeah.
So, made that purchase a bit void.
Yeah.
It's a nice, curious thing to have the Lynx, and also I did buy Chip's Challenge for it.
There are a few other games that are exclusive to the Lynx, right? Of note. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but there are a few good games on the Lynx.
It'd be interesting to do like a series of videos about the Lynx. I think it's kind of uncharted waters for a lot of this sort of documentation.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, same with the Jaguar. Like, there's a few diehard Jaguar collectors who follow us on Twitter, which is something that amazed me that they were.
Could we never talk
that.
About Jaguar?
No, have you got a Jaguar?
No, Mike's got a Jaguar of the Blast Process team.
I kept seeing them, like, around the time the Game Station opened in my hometown and when I picked up, like, Secret of Mana and these other carts that I've got. They had Lynxes there, and they were, like, 15 quid for a boxed Lynx. I didn't even think anything of it. I was like, well, it's an Atari console I've never really heard of. I don't really want it.
A couple of models of the
Jag
Lynx
as well.
Got quite a big, chunky Lynx. I think there was a slightly smaller one.
Yeah.
I think.
I really like the Jaguar's box art, actually. Those eyes on the black background.
It made it look mean, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we need some Ataris. We haven't got any Atari. We're pretty well represented on both Sega and Nintendo.
Sony.
We've even got some Amiga stuff. We've got a Commodore, we've got a Vic, we've got an Amiga, we've got three Commodore-based consoles. Yeah, we've got a 64, we've got a Vic 20, and we've got an Amiga 500.
Amiga 500, yeah. Yeah?
Yeah.
There's a lot of games consoles floating around the flat.
There are.
Literally floating around the flat. You should visit us. They're everywhere. It's like...
They are my Mac,
the world.
My Mac suite, where I've been editing the biographic videos and where the podcast is now kind of adorned a lot of Sega consoles, because we're going to have a load of friends around tomorrow to play a load of retro games.
So we've got the Sega corner. We've got in our little setup, we've got a TV in the dining room, which the Sega console is plugged into at the moment. And then in the living room, there's another TV, which has presently has a Nintendo console plugged in. And also PS1 and PS2.
Yeah, there's some PS1, PS2 over there. And then, of course, on the main TV in the living room, then we've got a GameCube, because it's where I'm recording the biographic videos. But there's also then a Japanese and an American PS2, as well as a few other bits and bobs.
Yeah, and we'll
recent stuff, of course.
We PS4. Will show you the flat at some point in the near future.
We will, and yeah.
We've got it kind of a little bit more organised.
Well, I finally get my display cabinet to put most of my Game Boy stuff in, so they don't take up most of the corner. Yeah.
Very cool. Anything else?
Anything else? Buying-wise, I'll let you talk a little bit. I feel like I've been rabbiting on a bit.
Oh, I feel like I've been interrupting.
Been having a good discussion, Tom.
Oh, yes, it's what we do, you know. We do interrupt. This is how it natural it flows. It's a conversation. I'm referring to my notes. I played Halo 4 this morning.
Yes.
Okay, I'm on the second mission. I hadn't played it for a while. I played the first mission and stopped, and then I came to it again. After watching Forbidden Planet last night and then thinking I wanted to play a sci-fi type game.
Yeah.
And so I don't know why I made this some sort of connection with Halo.
Well, you know, if you want to play something sci-fi, there's no better place really, is there? Like,
yeah. And it's okay, isn't it? I don't know. It's not... I feel like it's just more of the same. And it's not really doing much to make itself any different than the last lot.
Right.
Other than having this more interwoven story and the Cortana and Master Chief relationship. Yeah. That is the unique selling point of Halo 4, in my opinion.
Well, that and the Forerunners. You know, it does offer a lot of...
Yeah, they just popped up now. I haven't fought against them yet. I've only done the second mission.
See, this is why.
You see, I don't know. I've just been fighting Covenant and so far, and it's really just like rinse and repeat.
Yeah, but Forerunners offer different mechanics, and they're very cool enemies. Okay. Like they kind of.
I haven't seen the best.
They almost transform. Like they kind of zip back and forth, but they're particle-like things. I can't really describe them. They're really cool enemies. They're really well designed.
A lot to change up the gameplay, does it?
Yes, I would say so. Okay. Not so much significantly that you don't think it's Halo, but it does add a little bit of a twist.
I mean,
and challenge
you wouldn't want
things.
It not to be Halo, but I'm just thinking, yeah, I enjoyed it, but also at the same time, I find it a bit of a chore.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same. Like, I was very much looking forward to it.
Also, there's some segments of the game that I had to keep repeating, and it all felt very scripted. Like, an enemy's going to pop out at this point, and that enemy's going to kill me.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of that, and I don't remember that so much from older Halo games. There's like these little sequences.
It's because Bungie are very fucking good at making games.
Yeah, and these feel like forced little set pieces.
Yeah.
Where you run into it, you'll die, you'll try it again, you'll die, you try it again, you'll die. And it just doesn't seem like the same fluid game design that was in the
other Halo games. I don't think it is. And yeah. I think that's why they're stepping away from Master Chief for the next one, because I think 404, to their credit, they do some cool...
343.
Whatever.
It's some sequence of three numbers.
404 is error, not found. 343, sorry.
343.
They do some nice stuff with that game.
Yeah, I mean, visually, it's very nice.
Well, it's visually, it's one of the best-looking games on the 360, I think.
I wouldn't say it's in leaps and bounds ahead of Reach, to be honest.
No.
But
and
it
this is
still
the
looks good.
I think that they were weighed down. Obviously, they're trying to do something very technically brilliant and they're trying to make it their own. Mm. But at the same time, it's a very loved franchise. And with Master Chief and them having to make a Master Chief game, they couldn't really spread their wings at all. You know what I mean? Like,
No.
They were limited by the stuff that had come before.
Slightly forced into a corner. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think this next one for the Xbox One should be slightly better because it's not going to be Master Chief, they've said.
Yeah.
So... It's like, I've heard that Forward Until Dawn series that they released before it. Mm. It's supposed to be brilliant. Okay. And then Master Chief's in it. And then it goes a bit wank.
Yeah, no one knows how to handle Master Chief. Yeah. What's really nice about the game is the design and the visual design. I'm talking about the graphics now. I'm talking about the design of the environment.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
It is very well done.
Forerunners are very well done. Especially their weapons and stuff look really cool as well. They fit in with the Halo aesthetic. They're kind of like... Covenant weapons, but they're more futuristic and more cool. It's really nice.
So I will go back to it at some point. I don't know when, but when I get the urge to go back to it.
I think you should. It's not very long.
It's got 8 chapters. I've done 2 chapters. Yeah. Now, so 6 more to go.
It's I was kind of annoyed at how short it was, to be honest. Not as short as ODST, but I love that game, so I'm not going to criticize ODST. Yeah. Fanboy. I played it a lot and I liked it. What's the mode they've got instead of... Shit, I can't remember what it's called. Firefight.
Oh.
They did something really cool with that, but at the same...
That level-based cooperative.
Yeah, it's level-based co-op, but with story and stuff.
Yeah, though I don't think that's as good as Firefight.
It was a good idea. Like, honestly, it got me to play at the time with people from back home who I used to play Halo with, and we all teamed up and we did it. Because it does give you some kind of point to play Firefight, but it does take the fun out of it, because there's a story, and it does feel very tacked on. But yeah. I think it's a nice idea.
Also, again, I think the mechanics of the whole thing don't work as well as they did back when you're playing Firefight. I remember I have actually fought the Forerunners in one of them co-op missions. And yeah, they were very zipping around the sky.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah.
I felt there was an overabundance of enemies, rather tough enemies. It doesn't feel as you could put strategy into action the same way you could in Firefight. Just something about how they attacked you with such ferocity and such numbers.
But that's what they do. That was the Forerunners.
Yeah, like, that was very different to what
they
I'm
have
used
a very
to.
Different style to the Covenant in their attacks and stuff.
And it wasn't as enjoyable for me.
Like if you're playing it for people, you just kind of like it's kind of more feels a bit more Gears of War than Halo in the fuck like, oh shit, there's stuff coming at us, we've got to kill them all really quick. Mechanic that's not really there, where Halo is obviously more tactical and stuff. For me, it took my enjoyment out of it, because while you were saying like, oh, I was more strategic and stuff with the Covenant, I kind of had played Halo so much by the time that Firefight was introduced in Halo 3. Mm-hmm. And then, was it in Halo 3? Yes.
Firefight in Halo 3.
It was, I think. Or was it ODST? It was in one of them. Anyway, because I know Reach wasn't the first time I played Firefight. But by that time of playing Firefight and Reach, I could just dick around with the Covenant. Like, I could just run into a load of grunts, like, make them... Yeah. Pull out the grenades, shoot one in the face, and then quickly run away so it would blow everything up. Or I could just lob grenades sticky into someone, melee them, and jetpack away and do all stupid things that I like doing in first-person shooters because I don't take them seriously at all. And I couldn't do that with a Forerunner because they'd just kick your ass if you start dicking around and trying to like melee them to death. Yeah. Which is a bit sad for me.
I do think the way the enemies behave though in Halo 4 is more predictable and more stilted, and there's something off.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not bad by any means. I will go back to it.
Let's see what they do with the next one.
I've picked up Mario 3D World again recently.
Oh, really?
You were there when this happened.
I was.
Because I was on the Miiverse, and a friend of ours, Pear, who we interviewed on this very podcast, has been playing it recently. He's been posting about it on the Miiverse. It's a cool feature. I noticed he'd been speaking very highly of a certain musical theme that was used in one of the levels.
Yes.
I went through trying to find this level. I couldn't find it. You pointed out to me, Matthew, that it was in the Star World.
Yes.
Which is a world I'd totally forgotten about, but it opens up after you completed the game.
It did.
So, went there, having completed the game, and was able to enjoy this selection of levels, which... have some real retro influences.
They do.
The particular level that Pear was referring to with the music, this was based around Mario Galaxy, and it was the main theme from Galaxy, I found out. Because I'm not so familiar with Galaxy. I played quite a lot of Galaxy 2.
Never played either.
Yeah, it is. You have to get on that.
I know.
Because I have to get on it, because I never really played Galaxy.
Yeah.
I thought it's... Because I never finished Galaxy 2. I shouldn't start Galaxy 1.
Yeah.
So, it was a nice musical theme, but at the same time, you were playing Mega Turrican on the Mega Drive.
I was.
And I'd rather listen to Mega Turrican than the musical theme of Super Mario Galaxy. So,
I was disappointed with Mega Turrican. I want to point this out after last week and me going like, yay, Mega Turrican, and me playing it on emulation a couple of years back. I actually was kind of a bit pissed off by it because... I kind of realised in my love of Turrican franchise that it's kind of been outdone by Contra in my eyes. I just prefer playing Contra now to Turrican.
They're quite a different sort of
Yeah,
game.
I know, but like I like the third-person running aesthetic of both games, obviously like a third-person action game where you're side-scrolling shooter. But I just think Contra just does it so much better. And like, I grew up with Super Turrican. Mm. Contra 3 Alien Wars wasn't something I experienced till a lot later when my mate Dan got a cartridge when we were like 13, 14. And I really liked it. And I like when Contra, even though it's extremely, extremely difficult, I've only ever completed it on emulator because of save states. It's one of those games you need to play because you need to learn where the enemies come from and stuff. Mm-hmm. And same vein as Mega Man. But there's like top-down overhead view sections where you kind of... Like, I made a game with zombies, and it's just things coming from all the corners of the screen, just spinning around, rotating, and shooting. And something that hit me with Mega Turrican, I can't remember for the life of me if it's in Super Turrican, because I haven't got a cart of it anymore to check. But you cannot fire up, which annoys the shit out of me.
And for something like Mega Man, I found that so strange that it annoyed you so much.
It just, it feels wrong in Mega Turrican. Like, it should be there.
There's quite a few games like where you expect you're able to fire up angles and you just can't.
You can't even fire up.
No, you can't.
Like, and Mega Man is taking its aesthetics, admittedly, from a NES game, as is Turrican is taking it from a Commodore and stuff game. It was on Amstrads and things originally.
I said it must have been a decision by developers not to have him
maybe
be able to fire up.
But
in terms of design,
Mega Turrican is different from Super Turrican, and the level design seems to require you to shoot up more than I was able to. And even like...
But you weren't able to.
Yeah, I know, but this is what I'm saying. They were like, in Mega Man, at least the level design is based around the fact that they know you're going to have to jump to shoot enemies.
Yeah.
And you could do that. In this game, I found myself a lot that I'd be in corridors and things would come down from above me and there was no way in fuck I could shoot them before they hit me.
But you could argue you had to take a different tactic.
How?
Well, I often say that myself about Mega Man.
No, but like Mega Man's very well designed in terms of levels. I will give it that wholeheartedly.
You could let it fall and step backwards and then shoot it.
You couldn't, though.
You couldn't. I never had a problem with it.
It only activated when I was under it. Yeah. So I had to run back very quickly, which is something I couldn't do.
Yeah.
So I just
thought
got
it was
hit all right. By it.
I didn't. I liked it more than you did.
You did.
Obviously.
Yeah. That goes without saying, I think. And then I played Contra after it, and I was just like, oh, Contra.
Yeah.
Even though I got my ass kicked by the end of the second level, but it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Played anything else?
I have, actually. Yes, I enjoyed a little bit of Scram Kitty and His Buddy on Rails, which is a Nintendo Wii U downloadable title.
Is it by Nintendo?
No,
or
by
Daku Daku. Okay, interesting.
They developed the Spinning Octopus game, if you ever play that on the PSP, on the PS3, I think. Yeah, that's a cool game. It's a little hard to describe.
Yeah.
It's a platform overhead shooter.
Right.
Where your little ship, your top down view, your little ship's attached to walls. You can only move around when you're attached
game.
To the walls.
Yeah.
And you have to shoot enemies and negotiate this kind of where you have to jump off one platform onto the other and hook on, and you can move around the platforms, but and then you can jump. And
oh, that's interesting. So you're kind of...
The mechanic's cool.
You're kind of like an enemy in something like Mega Man in that you rotate around a platform.
Yeah.
That's the only way you can shoot.
Yeah,
them,
and you can jump off the platform and jump onto other platforms.
And then you'll continue to rotate. Can you stop at all on the platform? Or,
Yeah, you can stop. And you can also if you jump...
Yeah.
You can jump. And if you jump and then press jump again, you do like a fireball kind of attack where you do a high... bounce and you're also turned into a weapon, so if you hit any enemies then you'll destroy
them.
No,
that's cool.
It's cool. Yeah, it's quite difficult. The progression is tough because there's two cats in every level. You can easily collect the first cat, so it's quite easy. The second cat is kind of hidden.
Okay.
And you have to go down the more difficult path to get it. And you'll find you do the first three levels and then three or four and you can't progress any further until you've started getting the second cat.
Okay.
So that it's quite a tough game. And I did stop playing after a while. I was trying to get this second cat to progress and I just couldn't do it.
That's nice.
But it's quite an addictive game as well. I was starting to play it knowing that I was hungry for some breakfast.
Yeah.
And my hunger continued as I was addicted.
Yes.
To playing the game.
Okay, well, that's a testament a bit.
Until the game got too frustrating and my hunger beat
frustration.
My feeling I wanted to play the game.
Okay, fair enough.
And that was my experience with it. But it was on sale, and I did have just about the right amount of money left in my Nintendo wallet to purchase it.
Ah, I was going to say, did you purchase it? Because I remember you looking at Twimby and also some other chumpy side-scrolling thing, right? Yeah. That I can't remember the name of.
Yeah.
As well as Bombing Bastards.
Bombing Bastards!
Which showed me. And it's just the biggest Bomberman clone I've ever seen, and how the fuck it exists baffles me. Yeah, who owns Hudson now?
Sorry?
Who owns Hudson Soft? I'm sure it's not Square Enix because they own Taito.
Yeah.
I think it's like Capcom, if I remember right.
Capcom. Nah, I really don't know. Anyway, I do recommend this Scram Kitty, you know, for those who like an old school challenge with, you know, it's got unique game mechanics. Really weird concept. You're trying to rescue your cat, and along the way, you rescue all the other cats. And your enemy's mice, and you're a human.
Okay.
And yeah, it's cool. And if you are curious, now's a great time to pick it up because it is half price.
Hudson owned by Konami. I knew it was one of the Japanese developers.
Konami. Oh, right.
Capcom owner of the retro studio of great critical acclaim, and I can't remember who it
is. Sunsoft?
No, Sunsoft is still Sunsoft. Oh, believe it or really? Not. Sunsoft are still their own company. Wow. They haven't really made still any games in a long time, but they're starting to republish stuff from what I remember. I think they made a game actually for the Wii or the Nintendo Wii eShop.
Mm. Really? Really?
Yeah, I can't remember who it is.
Mm, neither do I.
Anyways, I also played a bit of Amazing Tater that arrived.
Oh, we did it.
A very interesting game.
You play as a potato.
You do play as a potato, but it's a...
Game Boy game.
It is a Game Boy game. Kind of like Zelda.
Oh, an adventure.
It's an adventure game where it's, you know, the isometric view of your character. You
can't... Isometric, so it's not top-down. It's
not top-down, it's kind of to the side, yeah.
Okay.
But it's got this weird aesthetic to it where you kind of got like a yo-yo as a weapon, kind of in Star Tropics, the other... Zelda-esque game that Nintendo did on the NES and haven't done anything with since. Make another Star Tropics game, Nintendo! So you've got this yo-yo thing and you walk around a maze, and essentially what it is like a maze game. Now you have to find your way through these mazes in a navigation field, and enemies will spawn and continuously respawn, so you have to like kill enemies and then kind of run past them quick before they respawn and then kill them again and then run again. And then it's got boss battles, but it didn't really seem that long, to be honest. It was kind of fun, though. Like, all of the characters in it are called, like, Terry Turnip and stuff. And it's very cutesy. It's very Atlas.
Peter Parsnip?
Yes, there is a Parsnip. I can't remember his name. Percy? It's Percy. It is not. Percy Parsnip, yeah.
It's better than Peter. Slightly, yeah. Percy.
Slightly. And so you meet all these characters. Essentially, the story of it is the Tomato King was going to marry his daughter off to someone, and then she gets stolen away. I think it's a tomato anyway. I can't really remember.
Tomato, man.
Yeah, she gets a tomato. It's an American game. Now. I got to say tomato. So this Tomato King has a daughter, and she's supposed to marry someone, and she doesn't want to marry them, and she gets stolen away by this character that's a bat called, like, Devi, which is blatantly meant to be the devil.
Whoa.
And then you have to go save her from this tower, and... Yeah, it seemed pretty cool from what I played a bit.
That does sound intriguing.
Yeah, it's very unique, actually. I haven't really played a game like it.
Amazing Tater. Is it British, by any chance?
No, it isn't. It's by Atlas. It's part of a series of game called the Puzzle Boys series.
Seriously?
Yeah, the first one in the series is actually Quirk.
Hmm. It sounds like maybe at least it had a British translation, you know.
No, it didn't. By... American only. Released by Atlas.
Percy Parsnip.
Yes. I think they just found names. I guess they were all big into... British stuff. You find that a lot with the Shin Megami Tensei and stuff games. They have British names for things, characters usually, which is kind of weird.
Mm.
But it was all right. I also played some games on the Nintendo.
On the NES.
Russian Attack, which was as much fun as I hoped it would have been.
Have you played that before?
No, I hadn't. I've always wanted to play it. I would seen it and always thought it looked really good.
Yeah.
Obviously, Green Berets, as it was called in the arcades, which I believe I played in the arcade, actually. I'm not too sure, but I
first played it on the Game Boy Advance on the Konami retro collection.
Yeah.
But then I also played the remake on the PS3. It was a reboot. It wasn't the same game, but it had the same sort of character. That's pretty cool, actually.
I haven't played that. What it's called. I didn't know that existed.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, it's really good.
I really enjoyed playing that. It was really fun. Enjoyed it more than Mega Turrican. Did more than Mega Turrican ever did, even though it was an NES game, which is kind of interesting to me. Could shoot up, believe it or not. And then I played a bit of Metal Gear, which was fun.
I've played before.
Punched some dogs. Then punched a man who said, "I'm going to sleep." And then he slept for about 3 seconds. And when I tried to sneak past him, he woke up and shot me.
Yeah, nice. I usually lose interest about the bit you were.
Really? Well, yeah, I died a couple of times, and I was like, okay, the cartridge works. I'll try Gold Medal Challenge 92, the ridiculously rare.
How was that?
Quite fun. Like a more fun version of Track and Field.
More fun than Track and Field?
Yeah, it doesn't require as near as much hammering, and therefore I think in 4 or 8 player mode, because you can play 8 players with it, that it would be a damn fun game.
Yeah, and it's rare in Europe, that's
it's
right.
Rare it's rare in Europe, but not in the States. Yeah. But yeah, it's fun to play. And then I've tried to play a bit of Mac Rider, but our Retron thing that plugs into the top of the NES.
Super Nintendo.
The Super Nintendo. What's it called?
Retrocon or something.
Yeah, the Retrocon thing. For some reason, I guess there's a chip in the NES that doesn't like this Retron device.
Yeah.
Retroport. I keep calling it Retron, like Retron 5, but it's not.
Retroport.
This Retroport thing we have is generally quite good for some games, and then Mac Rider for some reason, because of the 3D aesthetic, but it really didn't like it. It was jittering back and forth.
I think there might be a chip in the cartridge that the thing couldn't work with, perhaps.
Which is a shame, but then I'll just plug it into the NES tomorrow and maybe play a bit of it. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
You were sampling a few.
I was. I just dived in. Anything else for you?
I did actually intend doing the same thing to you and then playing a few more of the Mega Drive games. You know, I mentioned last week I started to play your Haul. I never got around to doing your Haul.
Your Haul? I think you said whore. I was like, you played my whore? What?
Didn't know you had a whore. I played the Splatters, which is an Xbox Live arcade game. Apparently it came out in 2012, but I'd never come across it before. It was advertised the other week, is when I actually picked it up, as it was on discount. It's a physics-based puzzle game where you control blobs in sort of like... imagine worms, imagine the landscape of worms, but imagine that tailored towards jumps and things, and it's hard to explain.
Right.
Imagine a circle made out of wire, and maybe it's got a few offshoots coming off it and stuff, and these little splatters of blobs are sitting in various areas of this...
Around the wire,
Around the wire. And then there's these other things called... They're called bombs in the game. The idea is to fire your splatter into something so it splats and then the drips land on the bombs and you have to explode all the bombs.
Okay.
Now that's probably not the best way I could have explained it.
I got it from that though. I got an idea of what it was.
And you can do things like change the force at which you fire your splatter off at, like worms. So when you hold down the button on a bazooka you fire it at more distance.
Yeah.
Also you can do a homing attack. Well, not homing attack, sorry. It's like a missile attack in the air. So if you jump in the air and then you press A again to jump again, you'll fire down like a missile onto the
bombs. Like Angry Birds style in like you've only got... If you do it in a certain amount of moves, you get higher rankings.
Yes, it is. Yeah. You get 3 stars if you get it. Right. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So for those who like Angry Birds, might like as many of you... Everyone likes Angry Birds, don't they? Do you like Angry Birds?
I'm okay with Angry Birds. I don't mind a bit of it.
Puzzler.
My mate Jim used to play it whenever he went to the bathroom, and he used to say, "I'm going to go play Angry Birds," which was his code for "I'm going to have a poop."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is fun game. It's a bit odd at first, some of the mechanics, kind of get your head around what you're actually trying to do and how the splatters themselves work. But It was good. It really caught my eye. I think the aesthetic really appealed to me as well. I picked it up and cool. liked it. I heard some glowing reviews and wasn't disappointed.
That's good.
So I was sampling a bit of that. The only other things I've played this week were I dipped back into New Super Mario Bros. U, which is something I do occasionally.
Every now and again, yeah.
Did a few more worlds, saved it.
Turned it off. Yeah, fair enough.
But I enjoyed what I played. It's got a good level of challenge, more so than Super Mario 3D World.
Yeah.
Which I think I probably enjoy more.
Yeah.
And of course, it's got a really beautiful aesthetic 3D World.
It also does some interesting new things.
Yeah, the imagination in it. And there are new ideas in Mario Bros. U, but not to the extent of World.
No, of course not.
But it is a fun game, and I do like to play it every now and again. Guitar Hero Aerosmith has been sitting on the shelf for a while there. For listeners who don't know, I'm quite keen on music games like Guitar Hero and Rock Band. And Matt actually saw this at a Car Boot sale.
I did. I picked it up a while back.
Mm. Along with the Aerosmith guitar as well. And so this is one I hadn't played before. Picked it up. Interesting. It's a bit different. What I really liked about it was that there's actual interviews with the band before the songs. And they'll talk about the history of the venues that they started playing at, and you'll play that venue. But disappointingly...
It's Aerosmith.
No, disappointingly, you don't always get to play as Aerosmith. You have another band that you... The standard generic Guitar Hero band who plays all the cover versions that are in the game, all the different songs which aren't Aerosmith songs. And then it's like, bring on Aerosmith! And then you do a few Aerosmith things with the band. But what's really nice about it is those introductions and where the band talk about the songs and the venues they played at and then how that progressed and little stories. And that's a great way of doing it, I think.
I thought it was very cool. It's kind of weird to me, like, especially when they had like Guitar Hero Metallica, that they didn't think of doing that with like a bigger band. Because, I mean, can you imagine they did that with like Led Zeppelin or something, you know? Like, people who weren't even necessarily into music instrument games would have bought it because it would have been very interesting to hear all this stuff.
They don't even do that in Beatles Rock Band.
No.
Which could have been...
harder to do, since two of them are dead.
But if you had some archive interviews...
Yeah, that could work, I guess. Well, yeah.
That would have been quite a nice way to... Because you go through the Beatles timeline in that game,
really?
Don't you?
Do you start in, like, Hamburg and stuff?
Not quite Hamburg, I don't think, but you start in the cavern.
Yeah, oh, okay.
And you progress to getting on TV and such.
Yeah.
And it would have been nice to maybe... They do it in a kind of way before the song starts, where it's loading. You hear, like... voice samples of like interviews and such, but
not as in depth as
the Aerosmith one. It surprised me. I had a go on the Guitar Hero Metallica afterwards, which is another one I hadn't played yet, and that does it quite differently.
Yeah,
it is a really good representation of the band in
cartoony 2D form.
Yeah, there's that, and there's also the actual 3D representations of the band members that they. Look, I still want to punch Lars in the face. He's still got that same face, and it's good that you can recognise him. and he just throws you right into it in that one. You know, For Whom the Bell Tolls is the first song.
Yes, it is.
And then you go into The Unforgiven after that. And it's just like, that's quite good, because when you pick up Guitar Hero Metallica game or Guitar Hero Aerosmith game, what you want to do is immediately start playing as a band, which is what you don't do in Aerosmith.
Yeah.
Did you really
want to play as Aerosmith, though?
Well, but you know what I mean. When you see it on the package, it's like...
Yeah, I guess.
I'm still trying to make my mind up if I like Aerosmith.
Have you played the Van Halen one yet?
Yes.
Did the Van Halen one start you as Van Halen?
Yeah, you're just playing Van Halen, okay. I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty sure. But the weird thing about Van Halen is it's not the band as you might remember them. It's a band as they look now.
Oh, okay. So like Eddie's sons in it and stuff then.
Yeah. They look really boring.
Yeah.
They don't look cool.
No, they're not
if
cool.
If cool is the right word.
Well, Van Halen is essentially Van Halen. I think the bass player's still there. I'm sure his son is now on drums or playing guitar for the bits that Eddie... can't still do, like I said, isn't it? His son's name is Wolfgang after Mozart.
Yeah. I mean, you notice it with Van Halen because they look noticeably different. Aerosmith, I think it is meant to be them as they are now, but they still dress the same and have the same sort of attitude.
Yeah, yeah, same as Kiss, isn't it?
Like, yeah, that's it. But great. Great. Yeah. I love playing both of those games. I like these games for a quick blast every now and again.
Yeah.
And that was all the games and stuff that I've played this week.
I picked up one or two more things. I got a boxed copy of FIFA World Cup 98 just because it was cheap and cheerful. And I also got a Game Boy on eBay in a charity auction for the Thames Hospice. They had a listing that said, "Unusual Game Boy." And I looked at it and I was like, oh shit, that's a white DMG. And it came with some nice games, such
as... You had to explain to me what a white DMG was.
I did, yeah, because you were just kind of like, "Aren't they all white?" And I was like, "No, Thomas, the regular Game Boy is grey."
Is it?
Yes, yes, it is. It's grey with blue writing and kind of maroon buttons, purpley tone to them.
Plum,
yeah, plum is a good description of the buttons.
Plum buttons.
That's the name of this podcast. Good job with that icon. Plum buttons. Whereas the white DMG has the black plate node screen and buttons, so it looks a bit cooler in my eyes. But yeah, it came with some nice games, and I picked that up for a pretty penny, but it's going to charity, so I don't really mind. It'll sit on my shelf. All I'm missing now is the blue, the yellow, and the black, and then I have the whole colour spectrum of the DMGs, which is nice.
The original Game Boy.
Yes, I believe there is also a pink one that's for Kirby, but I believe it's painted much in the way that there's a Wario Land one that was given away by like Weetabix or something in the UK, but it's just sprayed black. It's not an actual black console.
But I see.
Yes, but the white one is Japanese only, and therefore it goes for quite a bit. And I believe the pink one was a Japanese promotional thing, and I believe it goes for a stupid amount. If it is actually a proper Game Boy, because I've seen pictures of it, but no one's ever clarified if it's a proper one or if it was a custom or
it's
whatever.
It's not a Game Girl.
No, it isn't a Game Girl. Interesting enough, though, like I said, the start of that Barbie Game Girl game actually says that Game Girl is a trademark of Nintendo, so perhaps they did think of releasing a pink one. Who knows?
Yeah, it's funny when you mention that. I seem to remember something went off in my head like they did, or I'd heard something about it, but as you say, that they didn't.
Well, they did the SP, didn't they?
Yeah, the shiny... The pearl silver, whatever they'd call it.
Yes.
Not silver, pearl pink. Oh, I said silver then. Have you played or bought anything else?
No, I think that's pretty much it for me. The closest they came, I think, from the looks of things, to a pink Game Girl is the Game Boy Pocket with the Hello Kitty thing on it. Oh. But that wasn't called a Game Girl either.
No. But of course, there was like a hot pink Game Boy colour.
There was a hot pink Game Boy colour. There was also a like baby pink Game Boy Pocket that I believe is only released in Japan, but it looks very nice. Mm. Some really cool Game Boy Pockets that got released in Japan that we didn't get. There's one of the DMG Game Boy.
Oh, nice.
But in pocket form, and it looks amazing because it's got a nicer screen. And then obviously Japan also got the Game Boy Light, which we never got, which I really want. I really want one.
I think the Pocket's fantastic. You've got that much bigger screen.
Yeah.
You've got that easier to see display.
Two batteries instead of four as well.
Triple A's, yeah.
Which does hinder the battery life slightly, and which is why the light went back to double A's.
But is it a pocket size?
It is pocket sized. It is very nice to carry around with you. Same way I like my SP.
Yes.
But I always hate that the cartridge is hanging out. Like, as much as I like playing on my AGS 101, like, the backlit screen is amazing, but I hate that the cartridge is dangling out the bottom. I'm almost afraid that I'm going to hit it with my wrist or something, and then... Oh.
But it wasn't made for that. That was an extra feature.
Yeah, that's true.
Play these games.
Oh, well.
You ready for some new releases?
Yes, hit me with them, Tom.
Well, there aren't
in the
any
week ahead.
Coming
what?
Up for the weekend. Well, there are, but we already mentioned last week.
Oh, really? Okay.
But looking further into August, I haven't got exact dates, but before the end of August,
yes,
we'll get to play Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare on PlayStation Sony formats.
Oh, really?
PS3
it's
and
finally
PS4.
Coming out. I'm sure we've mentioned this before, but it's glad that it's finally coming out.
Now, there's been a trend of all of these new games being released on all the console generations, not just the next gen, but the last gen. For example, you release a game on Xbox One, you'll also release it on Xbox 360. Yes. Yeah, in the case of something like Wolfenstein. Yeah? And a lot of games. But one game that's being released before the end of the month is Metro Redux.
Okay. HD remasterings of the two Metro games? I assume so.
I wasn't sure if it was or it was a brand new one, but Redux does lead you to believe.
Yeah, I don't think it's a new one.
Anyway, it's not being released on PS3 or Xbox 360.
So it's just on the next-gen consoles.
Only on the next-gen.
Yes, I'm sure I remember seeing something about this. I'm pretty sure it's a HD remastering, much in the vein of The Last of Us.
So they wouldn't bother re-releasing it again
course not.
On the other consoles. Yeah. It's the same game, effectively. Exactly. But another game which has just had a release only on PS4 or Xbox One. Just PS4, won't it? It'd be Oddworld.
Yeah.
New and Tasty. I was oblivious to it even being released because it wasn't on the PS3 store.
You were, yeah, but yeah. It does exist.
It does exist, and it's out now. You can play it now and download it. Madden will be released this August on the PS3, the PS4, the Xbox 360, and the Xbox One, but not the Wii U. Another trend.
Of course it is. Well, it's an EA game. They didn't release last year's on there either, so that's no surprise.
But there is a game being released on Wii U that might take your fancy, a game called Road Redemption.
Okay.
It looks like a road rash type game.
Interesting. Yeah. That's tickled my fancy already.
It's a downloadable title, I think.
Okay. What for?
For Wii U.
For Wii U.
And PC.
And PC, okay.
Yeah.
I was hoping you would go on to say, oh, it's also on the PS3, and
No. I don't know if it's any good or not. I just saw a few screenshots and like Road Rash. So if you want a new Road Rash, I don't feel any need to get another Road Rash. I have enough versions of Road Rash.
Yeah.
But if you're dying to play it on a current console, then this game is coming out, Road Redemption. Maybe worth checking out. And the point I just mentioned is a game which I talked about on the releases last week, Metrico. We didn't have a clue what it was. It actually looks like a very clever, very nicely stylized puzzle platform game.
Okay.
Which is now free for PlayStation Plus members. They can download the Vita version for free.
Swing! I'll be getting on that in a minute.
Which I'm doing right now, and I think, Matt, you'll really enjoy the aesthetic of it, but it's taking ages to download.
Okay.
It's only 678 megabytes, but it's taking its
chugging,
time.
Yeah.
It's chugging along.
That's a shame.
But yeah, other than things we've mentioned before that are coming out in August, like Diablo and a couple of others, I forget, Road Not Taken, which is already out. That's it. There's not a lot until Destiny.
Yeah, September.
September.
There's a few games hitting in September, though, right? From what I remember.
I think September's going to be
September's
a good
when
month.
It all
when it
starts
comes
coming out,
it starts
yeah.
coming back for Christmas. So this is the end of our sort of drought.
Gonna be honest with you, I don't even really know if I'm that interested. Been so into like my Game Boy that I'm not really wanting for any games to play.
I haven't got a lot on my radar, I have to say.
I really want Destiny.
I'd like Destiny. I'm gonna get on 360 and play it with Gareth.
Yeah, I'm gonna get it on the PS4 and then I'll play it with a ragtag group of LEGO employees, I think.
Yeah. And I'm still looking out for Devil's Third for Wii U whenever that gets released. I'm interested in Bayonetta, but I better go back and play Bayonetta 1. Oh, I can do that.
You can do
it. There.
Yes, remember.
I'm just going to get Bayonetta 2
Good.
When it comes out.
Do that. Isn't there something else from September from Nintendo on the Wii U?
You've got Hyrule Warriors. You've Smash Brothers.
Well,
that's
not
November.
Until latest November, December, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm not that bothered about Hyrule Warriors. I'll probably buy it, though, so you know, £30.
You'll probably buy it, but you're not that bothered.
I'm not that bothered.
Ah, I wouldn't bother. You'd probably play it once or twice and then not play it.
Well, it's pretty much every game I buy for a current-gen console, isn't it? Let's be honest.
I'm not so into that type of game myself, and therefore I will be skipping Hyrule Warriors myself.
Poor Hyrule
Unless
Warriors.
I play it and think it's the greatest thing ever, but I don't think it's...
Oh, forgot to say, I traded some Game Boy cards earlier in the week. I completely forgot about that. I got Blaster Master for the Game Boy Color. Home Alone 2 for the regular Game Boy. And I also got Konami's International Superstar Soccer 1999 for the Game Boy Color as well. For a few cards I had laying around because God knows I've got Game Boy Doubles. Mm-hmm. So cheers to Mads for swapping those with me, a fellow Danish retro game collector. Thank you very much.
Respect to Mads.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Until next week, then. I think that's good night for me.
Oh, no, we've got to go.
I think so.
That's the end.
I think so.
We've run out of things to talk about.
We have. Well, I can talk about more things, but they'd be boring.
Oh, yeah,
we don't want to bore the audience. We want to tease them, Tom, with what's to come.
Oh.
But if you want to find out what's to come, you can follow us on facebook.com/TomAndMattAttack, where we will post some stuff. We don't really use our Facebook that much other than just posting episodes. But if you want to talk to us
posting
on Facebook,
last week's episode.
We will. Yeah, post it a week behind. Thank you, Thomas, for your constant updating and vigilance.
To write these interesting things, though.
Yeah.
About it being a week later.
You do, but
I think people's heads would explode if it happened on the right week.
What? Because then they'd actually listen to it properly when it was still culturally relevant.
I need a week to come up with an idea for the picture.
Oh, God. No, you didn't. The last week's title was awful. PlayStation Netflix. You just made the Netflix logo and the PlayStation logo. That did not
take... I put them together.
That did not take
Photoshop
you a week.
And I had two layers.
That did not take you a week. So, yeah, facebook.com/TomAndMattAttack.
It took me ages to run that tea bag, though, the week before.
Yeah, well, I'm sure Tom was very happy with that image of a tea bag. You can go on our Twitter at TMAcast and you can chat to us there about what you think of the podcast. Oh, Twitter following's been a bit lax as of late. We haven't really gained that many new followers, but I haven't really been on there enough chatting because anytime I kind of say, like, hey, guys, what's up? And I don't really get a lot of response. So it's just kind of like... Yeah, everyone's too
Summer,
busy playing games.
Know,
yeah, I guess so. Everyone's
holiday,
on vacation.
You know.
So yeah, drop us a tweet on there just to know you're still there and we can still count on you. Ha 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 ha. And then if you like the podcast, please tell others about it. You can give us a cheeky subscribe and a rating in iTunes. See, I mixed it up there just for the sake of variety. You can also find us on Stitcher and... our father site blastprocess.com. You can see us there. Okay, guys, until next week, it's good night from me and good night from him. Game on.
Good night, game on.
No!